Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 10th of December, recording at 5:13 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. This being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, and inevitably I'm also going to tie it into the short-term environment as well, particularly after an interesting and choppy week such as we've just seen. Okay, first on global stock markets. You know, my long-standing view is that ever since the bubble burst back in 2000, the tech bubble that is, I have maintained that Wall Street was most likely to be in a secular bear market, defined here as a generational long process of P/E ratio contraction, not in any one straight line, but in rolling waves, because investors gradually learn that they are not back in the 1990s type of stock market environment where it was all about buy and hold and expanding P/E ratios as are typical of secular bull markets. And therefore, in the secular bear trend, they're willing to pay less and less for equities, which eventually, over time, move to more and more attractive levels. Whether the secular bear market is largely sideways, with medium-term moves up and down, or whether it's more severe in terms of decline, depends very much on the amount of liquidity that's splayed around by central banks. And in the current environment, at any rate, we have plenty of liquidity sloshing around, but this will not always be a constant. When they worry more about inflation than deflation, there'll certainly be less liquidity around. Okay, so where do we actually stand in terms of big picture potential? Well, as far as developed markets are concerned, currencies will be a factor. A weak dollar helps the U.S. stock market. Also, in terms of markets being out of sync with Wall Street, Japan's the one that springs to mind. Having seen its long secular bear market from 1990 through to, I believe, last year, April 28th of 2003. But Japan, as I've warned all along, is going to be slow burn. In other words, after that good initial move, that type one rally up off the low, we're into the V bottom, V bottom with right hand extension, and that right hand extension was always likely to be very lengthy, and I don't see anything to change my mind on that. But as I said in the comment of the day today, the best time to buy Japan is when it looks as if people are beginning to give up on it, and we're not, or have given up on it, and we're not quite there, in my opinion. Now, what markets will do best overall in this environment? And for me, that's very likely to be the emerging markets, and they're going to be emerging markets all around the world. I much prefer emerging Asia to developed Asia. I much prefer emerging Eastern Europe to developed Europe. Just look at the work ethic, look at the flat taxes, look at the competitive labor costs and the comparative lack of bureaucracy. I prefer the emerging markets of Central and South America to North America. But remember, always bear in mind with those emerging markets that they are high beta. In other words, they will go up more during the medium-term rallies, but they are also likely to fall more during the medium-term downward corrections that occur, although that won't always be the case. And they are more likely than not to be characterized by rising lows following the big shakeouts. Now, any exceptions to that will be due to governance. In other words, if governance is very bad, that will frighten international investors away, and those markets will considerably underperform. So with emerging markets, governance is always the key. After that, look at the big trend globally. When Wall Street's environment is either benign, neutral, tight ranging, in other words, let alone positive, the emerging markets should do very well. And when Wall Street is clearly in what appears to be not only a short-term but a medium-term downtrend, then those emerging markets are likely to be quite vulnerable. As far as government bonds are concerned, I maintain that a secular bull market ended in June of 2003, and that we are in a very lengthy topping out process. One of the reasons why this, in terms of bond prices, bottoming out process for yields, one of the reasons why it's going to be a very, very lengthy process is because of lingering concerns about deflation. And there are pockets of deflation, as you know, Japan, for instance, and there are plenty of deflationary pressures, not least due to very, very competitive manufacturing costs. So people will focus on that until well after the next inflationary cycle is well underway. The next inflationary cycle is underway, in my view, and I have maintained in recent years that central banks had sown the seeds for the next inflationary cycle. But you wouldn't see it necessarily in the statistics, and you wouldn't see it in many of the reported statistics, although, as I've also said, if you pay the household bills, you will know very well, whatever country you're in, that inflationary pressures are back. I'm talking about the monthly bills that accumulate, from food to insurance, rent, anything in that category, the services you pay for, taxes, so on. Okay. Now, the strategy, therefore, in my view, is to short what are the most vulnerable bond markets for the long term, and I think those are likely to be JGBs and U.S. Treasuries. But they're in the topping out process, so it's going to be difficult in here, and it's very much a over the short to medium term, and it is largely a baby steps play. I have some short positions in both, but more in the U.S. Treasuries, because the recent slowdown in the Japanese economy is providing a bit more bullish support for the JGBs. So the strategy for U.S. Treasuries that I'm deploying is to lightly sell on rallies and to be sure and cover a good deal of it on the sell-offs, and that will remain the case until we have a much greater concern about inflation. Last factor to mention on that, one that I've often mentioned, is of course the terrific amount of supply that you see in terms of government bonds in those two countries, an inexhaustible amount of supply. Liquidity is another factor influencing those trends, though. The more liquidity there is around, the more it will tend to help to support bond prices, and at least until people begin to focus on the inflationary aspects of that liquidity. I'm not interested in shorting the UK gilts, Australian bonds, or bunds, and so on, because the fundamentals are less ropey, at least at this stage, far less ropey than they are, in my view, for the JGBs in the US. U.S. Treasuries. In terms of currencies, and this has certainly been an interesting area this week, we don't get the once-a-generation type of, or generational long, I should say, secular bull and bear trends, but we have been seeing a bear trend for the U.S. dollar, really, basically starting in 2001. And remember, there was a bull trend for the dollar which started back in the first or second quarter of 1995 and carried on for a good six years. So that's about as long as those currency trend cycles get, at least among the reserve currencies. Now, my view is that the dollar's bear trend is not over, although we've seen Most of it. I've never been in the camp that said we were going to get a dollar collapse. I think that's impossible. One, I don't think it's justified on the fundamentals, and that'll have a few of my listeners perhaps rolling their eyebrows. But remember, currencies are a relative comparison, or currency judgment is a relative comparison. And sure, the U.S. Is playing fast and loose with its currency, but so do most other countries and central banks with their currencies from time to time when it suits them to actually do so. And you see what happens here. A weak dollar puts immense pressure on other countries to avoid finding themselves victim of a competitive devaluation. So they print more, lower interest rates, do plenty of jawboning, or what have you. Bottom line here is that fiat currencies, that's paper money, have an appalling long-term track record in terms of protecting purchasing power. They don't. And that's always been the case, and I don't see a shred of evidence to suggest that that be anything other than the long-term case. But now, what about the dollar here short-term? And there were clues for this rally. I would have liked to have been a little bit more alert to the clues, although many of them were discussed here in the audios and on the website. There was the one I didn't see until after the dollar had started rally, which was the Economist cover, and I've talked a lot about that. And I just say very quickly that I'm not in the business of maligning the Economist or any other publication, but these big circulation and publications are in the business. The financial press, in other words, is in the business of reflecting back to investors issues that are most on their minds. And if they're going to do that with something like the dollar, they're not going to put up a cover that shows the dollar about to take off on its next rally. It might be a good idea if they tried to do that from time to time, but as I say, they're going to mirror back what people are actually saying, and I think that's a very legitimate function of these publications, in addition to trying to make some sense of what's actually going to what's actually taking place, put it in some sort of perspective, in other words. And sometimes they do a good job of that, and sometimes they don't do such a good job of that. But it is now part of it's become legendary, and rightly so, that the big publications will tend to use cover stories close to important turning points in the fortunes of many markets after long run-ups or runs down. Now, there are clues. There was certainly a bearish consensus on the dollar, and we were starting to get some extrapolation of forecasts. There was the proximity of prior support. If you recall that U.S. dollar index chart, monthly chart, which I post from time to time, showing it within striking distance of the approximate historic lows down at that 80 level. An even better one, in my view, was OPEC ministers clamoring for, or talking quite openly about the fact that they were not happy having oil priced in dollars and worth considering having a basket of currencies or another currency. Remember that, some of us remember that going all the way back to the mid-1970s when the same things were said. Now, the tricky part and the very difficult part here for all of us is, will these clues, are they early? When are they likely to be timely? And will they be followed by a big or a small rebound? And there's no way one can know the answers to those questions in advance. Suffice it to say, when you start to get a lot of clues, and if it's a very powerful trend, they'll come early, sometimes many months early, or with massive bubbles such as the NASDAQ, they'll come years too early. And prescient people like Alan Greenspan will talk about irrational exuberance and be castigated for it, and be years ahead of the actual peak. Okay, you know the point. Now, my feeling is that this is probably not more than a short-term rally for the dollar. People talk a lot about whether Chinese buying and Japanese buying and so on, but the hedge funds and currency traders will be, of course, very, very big players in this market. And we have seen in the last 3 or 4 days, we've seen the unwinding of a number of those dollar short positions. And there may be a bit further of that to go. I can't say for sure that it's actually over, but my hunch, based on the technical pattern and the sentiment, which was bearish for the dollar, but not at an extreme. And I don't think it, for instance, I don't think it was anywhere near as bearish as we saw last February, and in last February and March. So my feeling is that, as I say, that this is probably no more than a short-term recovery, and at most medium-term, meaning that it could last last for a few months. But that's a hunch, of course. No one can know these things. Also, in terms of the technical picture, there's more overhead resistance for the dollar this time around. I'm still also of the view that these big currency trends, they'll certainly be punctuated with reactions, and then the speculative element and the funds and so on will move, and includes people like myself, although small beer relative to the, obviously relative to the trillions and trillions that are of turnover that we see in these currency markets. People will move back in as they usually do, and my hunch is, as I've said on a number of other occasions, that we probably won't see the beginning of the bottoming out process for the US dollar until it has, one, gone lower, and two, until we start to get multilateral intervention, and the multilateral intervention that will count is when the U.S. Federal Reserve is also, and Treasury, U.S. Treasury, are also convinced that further dollar weakness is not in their own interests. And the key to that will be inflationary pressures. Now, that I do not feel as, and I have not felt as, a short-term prospect. It could be several years away, but obviously subject to what or how, subject to how quickly markets move. So, how to actually play it? Well, I don't see any short-term evidence that the dollar's rally is over, but the higher it carries, the more interesting it will look in terms of the next shorting opportunity. Now, we'll get an interesting test next week. I think it's on Tuesday when the trade figures come out, and they're expecting an increase in the deficit, and if we get a again, if the figure is more bearish for the dollar, in other words, bigger deficit than people were expecting, and if that leads to a reaction in the dollar beyond a few minutes or a few hours, then that could mark the top. Conversely, if we get a smaller figure than people were expecting, that would put further wind in the sails of this particular technical rally. My comment, which I did mention, I think, is that when we had those downward dynamics and things related to gold, I beg your pardon, related to the dollar, such as gold, which I'll get onto in a minute, that those dynamics, and I've said this before, that any clear dynamic, a counter-trend dynamic, is a tradable signal in the short term, although whether one chooses to play these or not is very much a personal decision. I'm not keen on trading counter-trend dynamics. I'm not all that keen on doing that. I do it occasionally, but I haven't been tempted by this one. But I will watch keenly here to see how the dollar trend does evolve, and if it pushes in the volatile nature of things, if it pushes a bit further before it starts to weaken again, then that'll just create a better shorting opportunity. But my hunch is, as I say, that this is probably no more than a short-term correction. I don't think it was sufficiently overextended for a big a big counter trend move, let alone a bottoming out process and the beginning of some sort of cyclical long-term dollar recovery. Although some people are calling for that, some who love taking the contrarian view, and indeed I think most of us with a fair number of years under our belt in the markets do, but you know, you've got to be able to view this in perspective. Contrarian view for a short-term move or contrarian view for a major move, I say it's a short-term move. Okay, moving on to gold. And that is down in here a little bit today. Well, I should give a little bit of a wrap on some of these markets. I'll do that at the very end. But my comment just before the breakdown in gold, partly in response, I think, to that rather good email from someone saying, was the softness in the gold shares an indication that bullion might be about to get a correction? And that was very prescient. Very prescient comment. You might remember that from earlier in the week. Now, I had said in that comment that I felt that, bottom line, gold was a buy on corrections of $20 to $50, and we've seen enough coming down from, I think, $450, $456. We're currently $434.5. Gold is back in a buying range. That doesn't mean that it couldn't go lower, obviously, if the dollar rally continues. But if you buy gold here at these prices, my feeling is that within a matter of months, if not shorter term than that, you will see it back in profit once again, and that the main trend for gold, I maintain, is in a secular bull market, not least because of all the liquidity that's sloshing around and the fact that no government wants a strong currency, no central bank wants a strong currency, and so that has been slowly remonetizing gold in the eyes of investors. And I feel the process has barely begun, because gold has been essentially a dollar hedge story, but ultimately it will be a safe haven against all paper currencies, although it'll probably take at least 10 and probably more like 15 to 20 years for all of that drama to play out on a long-term basis. Silver remains high beta gold. I missed my third baby steps bid in here again today, although I got fairly close to it. I'm playing this conservatively here because of the catch a falling knife zone, as I described it. But that always interests me. Anytime silver, in particular among these supply inelasticity trades, anytime it gets bashed, I'm certainly interested, as you know, and have heard me say on many occasions in the past. and I prefer the metals to the shares. Generally, fewer risks in the metals, as you've also heard me say before. Now, in the industrial metals, again, same thing. They are far more volatile than gold. some of them as volatile as silver, and they are worth picking up after big counter trend reactions, big downward moves, which occur really quite frequently, 2-3 times a year. In other words. As far as the agricultural commodities are concerned, I've described a number of them as being dirt cheap, but also pointed out that in terms of seasonal growing patterns and so on, that this was a low interest time of the year. In other words, it's for certainly for the U.S. contracts, it will be it'll be the spring and the summer when the growing season, the main growing season, is underway. That tends to be the period when most of the interest is generated, although these crops are produced all over the world, as you know, and prices in other countries, weather conditions can certainly have an impact, and does from time to time. The only thing, though, that I could see really lifting the grain and bean complex significantly before, let's say, in the March, April, and beyond period of next year, would be if China was seen to be a fairly aggressive buyer. Now, that could happen at any day. It may have already started. Lastly, pick up the oil again, going back to the supply and elasticity trades. Remember, supply and elasticity is my investment theme of the year. I feel that we've almost certainly, and you know, in seeing crude oil NYME down close to $40, that we at one stage this week that we have seen the worst of this move by far on the downside, if not all of it. Ditto natural gas. And on the first in, first out basis, I think first into the correction, the oil and natural gas contracts, they are likely to be first out, and that process may have already started. There's some evidence of that with natural gas, which I own. Okay, quick wrap on the day. We had mostly mixed action, small declines, small gains in the Asian markets, small gains in the European markets here today following Wall Street's rebound. Many of the European markets closed when Wall Street was down, and Wall Street closed with moderate gains last night. Currently, we're seeing Wall Street's down very slightly, but off the lows of the day. The dollar was quite strong at one point today, but has given up a lot of those gains, but it's still on the plus side against everything that I'm looking at. 132.35 against the euro, that's down. Euro's down 76 ticks in here today. Gold is got down as low as 431.96, currently 434.5. As I speak, silver dipped down to 664 on the March contract, currently 678. That's pretty much the story here. Among the softs, soybeans, that's one of the ones that I do own. That's up 9 in here today. And the recent rally provides some evidence that we are actually seeing a higher low. We haven't had many of those in these in the grain and bean complex recently, and clear evidence of a higher low, and it would require further rally to produce that, would provide additional evidence that a type 3 base formation process was underway. And lastly, crude oil was up most of the day, got up to 43.29, but has dipped quite sharply here recently. Maybe bound to be some news, but I haven't seen it. It's currently at 41.65. Natural gas about unchanged, having backed away from some reasonably good gains earlier on today. Have a splendid weekend, everyone.